right, so who's hungry? Oh, wait, that was a couple weeks ago. That was the message. For those at home watching and don't quite understand, we have a meal after church today. But who's hungry? No, I'm just kidding. So today we are going to move on with our back-to-school series, as promised. Today we're going to talk about math. Who likes math? Wow. Man, I'm in trouble with all these mathletics in the room. I was never very good at math. I will be honest with you. Going to school, it was difficult for me. I'm not sure why. I had the little slide ruler that gave me all the answers. But I didn't like it. Today, math has changed. Did you know that? Math has changed, and now it really doesn't make any sense. When I worked as an emotional support teacher over at Donegal, one of our tasks was to help kids with their homework. And when kids would come to me with their math homework, I was already in trouble. And then they started to show me what needed to be done, and I was the one that needed emotional support after that. They call it Common Core math. I don't know. I don't know why they had to change it. Because one thing that I do understand about math is it is a reflection of order. You know what happens when you need to get something, get prepared for something? They tell you to put all your ducks in a row. Why? Because then you can count your ducks, right? And 1 + 1 always equals 2, right? And there's a definition behind that that I'm probably going to get wrong. So all you people that are good at math, just sit, nod your head. It says that the number 2 in the equation 1 + 1 = 2 is what's called an absolute value. Now it says an absolute value of this equation is 2 because it is the distance, and I am reading this, is the distance of the number 2 from 0 on a number line. And that is an absolute that goes the whole way into infinity and beyond. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4, and so on and so on, because the absolute value is whatever it is from 0 on the number line. God brings order into our lives because we can trace everything back to ground zero, where it all happened in the Garden of Eden. When God created all things, God even created math. It said in 1 Corinthians that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Because he did bring order into our lives. He brought math into our lives. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he created one person, Adam. And then he created another person, Eve. And then he brought them together and told them to do what? Multiply. So he added two people together, and he told them to multiply. And Adam plus Eve equals Cain and Abel. 2. And God told them to multiply. There are a lot of different places in the Bible to come up with quirky little things about math. God divided the Red Sea, as we talked about last week. But the one I like the best is when Jesus was resurrected, he subtracted sin from our lives. Not taking sin away, but taking away our punishment for sin, taking away our fear of not knowing Jesus. So you might be sitting there saying, okay, well, I understand you're bad at math. I understand that this is a math lesson and all things are absolute based on the number line. So how does 5 plus 2 equal 12? That's not bad math. That's God math. So what we're going to do is we're going to get started in our textbooks. John 6. And if you haven't figured it out already, it might start to be put together in your minds as we go to John 6. Because this story is one of the highlights of Jesus' time here on earth. So much so that you can find this, this history lesson in all the Gospels. It is called the Feeding of the 5,000. And we all know this story. And when I say the feeding of the 5,000, the 5 and 2 makes sense, if you know the story well enough. But we're going to go through the story anyway and figure out how we got that answer. So it says, after these things, in chapter 6, verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs of which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So this was during Jesus' ministries. People were listening to his teachings. They were seeing him healing people. And the crowds just grew dramatically. You got to realize this multitude was at minimum 5,000 people. At minimum 5,000 people. And what is happening here is there are so many people and there's so much that Jesus is doing in this time. Believe it or not, Jesus needed a break. Jesus needed breaks too. So he went up on this mountain with his disciples and looked down at the multitudes of people trying to figure out what to do next. It says, now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And then Jesus lifted his eyes up and seeing the great multitude coming toward them, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that they may eat? So Jesus looked at the 5,000 and he didn't say, there's too many people. Jesus cared so much about every single person in that crowd that his thoughts were, how are we going to feed them? You ever have people show up at your house unexpectedly and you got to figure out how to feed them? What happens if 5,000 people show up at your house? You're in trouble. And I find it interesting because yesterday we were out by the outlets and I said, let's go to Golden Corral. Because I was in the mood for a buffet. But we walked in that door and there was a line going back to the door. And I looked over at the buffet tables and there's lines at the buffet table. If you've ever been to Shady Maple, it's the same thing. And I was hungry. So I looked at the crowd, which was nowhere near 5,000. And I said, let's go somewhere else. So we went down to DJ's down the road, had ourselves a hamburger. But can you imagine having to feed 5,000 people? And they started to talk back and forth about what to do. One of the first ideas from the disciples were to send these people away. Get rid of them. Well, that wasn't the answer. Because these people were there for a purpose, for a reason, to hear about Jesus. Perhaps to get healed or bring someone they love to heal, get healed by Jesus. A lot of times we do that with our own problems. We may look at our problems and see 5,000 looking back at us. And our first thought is to just ignore it, and it'll go away. 5,000 people, that's a lot of people to ignore. Plus, Jesus cared about these people. Jesus didn't want to send them away, because think about the repercussions of that. These people were traveling and multiplying and growing. For them to get back where they came from, it would have been a dangerous trip. It also would have been a trip where many people would have starved to death. It wasn't like they had sheets that they were going to come across. They had to travel back to a place where they could get food. The next solution was one that Jesus had asked Philip about. Where shall we buy bread that they may eat? I think this was a jest from Jesus. Like, I think he was being a little facetious there with his question, because he knew they were not going to be able to buy bread to feed 5,000 people. And again, it wasn't like they could just run down to the store, and it's not like they had endless amounts of money. Because the response he got was 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So even if they found a place to get that much bread, you got to think about how much bread it would take to feed 5,000 people and how much money it would cost to buy that bread. And sometimes, again, if our problems multiply and we look at them and we see 5,000 problems in front of us, sometimes we think we can throw money at it and think, well, if I just had enough money, I could fix this problem. I could go buy 5,000 loaves of bread and feed everybody. But that's not always the case. We can't always just trust in money. And then one disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." 5 plus 2. But he says, "What are they among so many?" This disciple looked at the 5,000 people in front of him and looked down at these 2 small fish and 5 loaves of bread. So this is a blessing, but what good's it going to do? And I think that's one of the most dangerous ways that we look at our problems. Again, we're looking at problems as if they're 5,000. And if we think to ourselves, what little blessings I have, what good are they against this? You already know you can't ignore your problem. You already know you can't throw money at your problem. But what am I going to do about this when this is all I have? Earlier this week, when there was the shooting at the school, one of the things that stabbed me in the heart was when somebody got up in front of a microphone and said, "Keep your prayers. We don't need them." They said these children were praying in a church when they were gunned down. What good are your prayers going to do these children and these families? I don't know if they meant it as harshly as that sounds, but to a Christian, someone who believes that prayers are life-changing, they were looking at these children were in a church. Praise Jesus, these children were in a church, because that means they knew Jesus. They were praying to Jesus, and they were under Jesus' protection no matter what the outcome. when that person stood in front of a microphone and say, save your thoughts and prayers, that something bigger needs to be done, the way I heard it was your prayers are just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And they're not enough to fix the world. And that stabbed me in the heart that somebody would choose those words in a press conference. Because a lot of times we look at what we have and we say it's not enough. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say we are not enough. Sometimes we may even think that God is not enough to fix our problems. But as we know, carrying on in verse 10, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so they're all sitting in a field. And so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. I'm going to pause right there, because we all know what happens next, but I'm going to pause right there to focus on he stopped and gave thanks. Why is that important? Because he knew these 5,000 people were about to see something they've never seen before. He knew what was about to happen. He knew these people were going to be amazed, that it was going to be the greatest show on earth, but it wasn't a show. He was telling them by giving thanks, the miracle that's about to happen were not through his hands or the hands of his disciples, but through the hands of his Father in heaven. That is about to do something amazing to save their lives. That they are not going to starve another minute. So he stopped and he gave thanks. So he was not going to be given any credit. So that his disciples who were bringing these baskets around were not going to be given any credit. That the credit goes to God. So after Jesus has given thanks, he distributed the fish and the bread to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise the fish, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. The way they have worded that there, if you didn't know the story, you may not understand what is happening. But he said he divided what he had and gave it out to the disciples. And as the disciples walked around into the crowds, what was given was divided and multiplied in endless numbers until everybody was fed. I wasn't there, but I would imagine that the 2 fish turned into 4 fish, and the 4 fish turned into 8 fish, and the 8 fish turned into 16 fish, and so on and so on. And the same with the bread. The 5 loaves of bread became 10 loaves of bread. And the 10 loaves of bread became 20 loaves of bread. And so on and so on and so on. How? How is this happening? Through God's favor. Through God's blessing on these people. As we go on, it says, so when they were filled, so it wasn't just like they got a little piece of fish and a little piece of bread. That wasn't enough for God. God said, fill them. These people were full. These people were no longer hungry. They were full. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost. There were leftovers. There were leftovers from the two fish and the five loaves of bread. How many leftovers? 12 baskets full. God is so great that he can take an absolute, like 1 plus 1, and turn it into 5 plus 2 equals 12. He took five loaves of bread, two fish, fed 5,000 people, and said 12 baskets left over. That's amazing. That is amazing. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? We have a world out there. More than 5,000. How can this small church in Columbia, Pennsylvania, be enough to feed the world? Think about that. Don't think of ourselves as the 5,000 that need to be fed. Think of ourselves as the 2 and the 5. Can you wrap your minds around that? That we look around us and we may think, boy, I wish we were more like the bigger churches. Boy, I wish we were more like the mega church up on the hill. Boy, I wish we had a youth group. That's the same frame of mind that the disciples would have seen when they looked down and all they saw were 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. They would have thought, this isn't enough. And if they had given up there, none of the people would have gotten fed. We don't know what happened to the 5,000 afterwards, but I'm sure when their lives were changed forever. Because they had faith in the 2 and the 5. But it wasn't the 2 and the 5. It was the blessings of God on the 2 and the 5 that made the miracle. I'm not saying that we're enough to bring God's word into the world. What I'm saying is when we trust in the hands of Jesus, we are all enough. The 2 and the 5 can feed 5,000 because of God's love. Because God is almighty. God can do all things. God can put your ducks in a row and let you count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But he can also take that number and change it into more. Because that's the real takeaway here. The takeaway is that we can look at ourselves as part of the 5,000. We can look at ourselves as the 5 and the 2, but only if we believe we can multiply through God's blessings. I think a lot of us look at ourselves as the little boy. And we look down at our hands and we see what little we have to give. So much so that it makes us afraid to give it. Imagine the young boy knowing 5,000 people need to be fed, and he walks up to Jesus and says, well, I have this. Jesus knew what was going to happen. The little boy didn't. But the boy offered it anyway. The boy did not say, "My five loaves and two fish are not enough." And I think we get caught up in that, especially in sharing our faith. We might think, "I don't know enough about the Bible to share my faith. I don't pray enough to share my faith. I didn't go to enough school to change people's lives and share my faith." The Bible was written not by scholars, but by believers. That's what we have to take away from this. And also, if there's things in our lives that are holding us back, we have to ask ourselves, what are the five and the two in our life? What are we holding in our hands that we need to trust? If I put it in the hands of Jesus, it's going to multiply. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about problems. Not that your problems will multiply, but he will subtract them from your life. Do we have enough belief in Jesus to know that whatever blessings he gives us, if we put them into his hands, he will make them abundant in our lives? I think we focus too many times on what little we have and not how much we can do with what we have. God gives us everything we need. And sometimes he can take what we have and multiply it for the good of others. So when we leave here today, I want you to all think, what can we place in Jesus' hands? It could be a problem you're having at home. It could be doubt that you have in your own abilities. You could walk out this door thinking, we're the biggest church in the world. We're the smallest church in the world. The numbers don't matter, because God can make 5 plus 2 equal 12. Let's pray.